Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom! And welcome to Did You Know by Mallard Bay. Yeah, you messed up the deal here.
Ha!
Any hunting, fishing needs, anything you want to do, contact Mallard Bay. They can book you, hook you up with anybody you need to outfitter-wise. Also, if you're an outfitter, the Guide Tech is the best way to go. Take care of your calendar, your books, your finances, everything. Mallard Bay, one-stop shop for you. Way to go as an outfitter.
They can hook or book you.
Yep, hook you and book you. Okay, did you know?
All righty.
You missed the deal. Did you know?
Yo. Got to do everything. Sorry. It's all new to me.
Got a couple things. First one is, if you invested $1,000 in Microsoft stock in 1986, the year I graduated from high school, how much money do you think you'd have?
Microsoft in 1986, $1,000.
$1,000.
You would have approximately...
Would have been like 50 shares.
You would have approximately $2.3 million.
$3.5 million.
Damn it.
If...
Boy, you sure fucked that up, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Everybody... I don't understand. Everybody knew computers were going to be the way of the world.
Not 1986, they didn't.
Everybody knew.
No. Awesome. Well, but there was other... Apple was there, too. There's a lot of different things besides Microsoft.
Either one of those would have been a safe bet.
Okay. This one's on you, then. If you'd have bought $1,000 worth of Bitcoin in 2010, how much would you have today?
Well, number one, it's not the same thing at all because cryptocurrency has not overtaken society the way computers have.
How much?
In 2010... $5 million.
$35 million.
Boy, you fucked that up.
Yeah, I did. So did you.
You messed.
You had that same chance.
I didn't have $1,000 in 2010. Yeah, I was in college.
Yeah, he was working with T-Rex.
I was in college. I didn't have $1,000 extra.
$35 million.
Boy.
For $1,000 investment.
I read somebody had Bitcoin on a thumb drive. And I don't understand how Bitcoin works. Anyway, they did that in 2010. They have a thumb drive that's full of Bitcoin. Worth like the $35 million or whatever, they've lost it.
Yeah, that would suck. That's happened more than once.
Cannot find that thumb drive.
I had a guy try to pay us
because I think back in the early days, like you had Bitcoin. You don't just go to a stock trader and buy Bitcoin that way. Like you had it.
I had a guy in 2012 try to pay me $1,000 bill with Bitcoin. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here with that shit.
I've regretted that ever since.
Cash money.
He could probably call me up today and say, do you remember that time I tried to give you $35 million? Now, if you took that same $1,000 and you invested it in the Standard & Poor's in 2010, you know what it'd be worth?
The S&P 500?
Yep.
It goes up 7% each year, so do the math, Jeff.
$2,500.
Right.
You've been a lot better off buying Bitcoin.
Well, fuck yeah.
Okay. That was my... Do you have a do you know?
Hold on. So here we go. They cracked the code. It was worth $235 million in Bitcoin.
Wow.
Woof. He lost the password to the encrypted USB drive holding 7,002 Bitcoins. One team of hackers believes they can unlock it if they can get... They can get in on the cut, which I don't know.
That's crazy.
Give them 10% or something.
All right, I'm going to go with my history lesson for today.
Okay.
Did you know who's the most influential woman in the history of the United States up to 1900, probably?
Up to 1900?
Yes, because I don't know after 1900. You could argue lots of different ways, but up until 1900.
So you're talking 1900 to now?
No. From 1750
to then?
To 1900.
Margaret Thatchery.
No, she was actually after that. That would have been during World War II that she was a deal. Sacagawea. Sacagawea was born near the Continental Divide at the present-day Idaho-Montana border. She died December 20th, 1812. That's questionable. At Fort Manuel on the Missouri River in the Dakota Territory. She was a Shoshone Indian woman who, as an interpreter, traveled thousands of wilderness miles with Lewis and Clark Expedition, which took place in 1804 to 1806. And she was part of the Mandan Hidatsu villages in the Dakotas in the Pacific Northwest. They traveled from Mandan Hidatsu, which is in Bismarck, North Dakota, all the way to the Pacific Northwest. Separating fact from legend in Sacagawea's life is difficult because historians disagree on the dates of her birth and date, even on her name. In Hidatsu, Sacagawea, pronounced with a hard G, translates into bird woman. Alternatively, Sacagawea means boat launcher in Shoshone. Others favor Saskatchewan. The Lewis and Clark journals generally support the Hidatsa derivation, which of Sacagawea. A Lemmy Shoshone woman, she was about 12 years old when a Hidatsa raiding party captured her near the Missouri River's headwaters about 1800. Enslaved and taken to their Knife River Earth Lodge villages near present-day Bismarck, North Dakota, she was purchased by French-Canadian fur trader Toussaint Charbonneau, who was a real piece of shit, and became one of his plural wives about 1804. They resided in one of the Hidatsa villages, Metaharde. When explorers Meriwether Lewis and William Clark arrived at the Mandan Hidatsa villages and built Fort Mandan to spend the winter of 04 and 05.
Those two guys are of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
That is the Lewis and Clark boys.
Don't know.
Yes. They hired Charbonneau as an interpreter to accompany them to the Pacific Ocean. Because he did not speak Sacagawea's language and because the expedition party needed to communicate with the Shoshones to acquire horses to cross the mountains. The explorers agreed that the pregnant Sacagawea should also accompany them. On February 11, 1805, she gave birth to a son, Jean Baptiste, who later was...
Jean.
Okay. Departing on April 7th, the expedition ascended on the Missouri. On May 14th, Charbonneau nearly capsized the white Pierrot boat in which Sacagawea was riding. Remaining calm, she retrieved important papers, instruments, books, medicines, and other indispensable values that otherwise would have been lost. The trip would have been over right there if she would have done that. During the next week, Lewis and Clark named a tributary of Montana's Musselshell River, Sacagawea, or Bird Woman's River, after her. She proved to be a significant asset in numerous ways, searching for edible plants, making moccasins and clothing, as well as allaying suspicions of approaching Indian tribes through her presence. A woman and child accompanied a party of men indicated peaceful intentions. By mid-August, this expedition encountered a band of Shoshones led by Sacagawea's brother, Camelwait. The reunion of sister and brother had a positive effect on Lewis and Clark's negotiation for the horses and guide that enabled them to cross the Rocky Mountains. Upon arriving at the Pacific Coast, she was able to voice her opinion about whether the expedition should spend the winter and was granted her request to visit the ocean to see a beached whale. She and Clark were fond of each other and performed numerous acts of kindness for one another, but romance between them occurred only in latter-day fiction, so they made that up. Sacagawea was not the guide for the expeditions, as some have erroneously portrayed her. Nonetheless, she recognized landmarks in southwestern Montana and informed Clark that Bozeman Pass was the best route between the Missouri and Yellowstone Rivers. On July 25, 1806, Clark named Pompey's Tower near Pompey's Pillar on the Yellowstone after her son, who Clark fondly called his little dancing boy Pomp. The Charbonneau family disengaged from the expedition party upon the return to the Mandan Hidatsa village. Charbonneau eventually received $409.16 and 320 acres for his service. Clark wanted to do more for the family, so he offered to assist them and eventually secured Charbonneau a position as an interpreter. The family traveled to St. Louis in 1809 to baptize their son and left them in care of Clark, who had earlier offered to provide them with an education. Shortly after, the daughter named Lizette, a woman identified only as Charbonneau's wife, but believed to be Sacagawea, died at the end of 1812 at Fort Manuel near Bow Bridge, South Dakota. Clark became the legal guardian of Lizette and Jane Baptiste and enlisted Sacagawea as deceased in a list he compiled in the 1820s. Some biographers and oral traditions contend that was another of Charbonneau's wives who died and that Sacagawea went to live among the Comanches, started another family, rejoined the Shoshones, and died on Wyoming's Wind River Reservation April 9, 1884. These accounts likely be attributed to other Shoshone women who shared similar experiences as Sacagawea. Anyways, she is the mother of any kind of Western expeditions by the country, because if she wouldn't have been on that trip, it would have never happened.
Right.
She was instrumental in being able to talk between the Indian tribes and get them through, because her piece of shit husband was not a really good guy.
Not all that great.
Nope. Anyways, that's the story of Sacagawea, who I think is one of the... It's a Hollywood movie. He's going to make a movie about her one time, it'll be a big time movie. She had a hell of a role in American history.
So my, did you know, kind of the similar lines. Did you know that at the start of World War I, Queen Victoria, her grandsons were the King of England, the Kaiser in Germany, and the Tsar of Russia?
I did not know that. Those were her three boys?
Her three grandsons.
Russia, German, and that's why...
She was German.
That's why the English... That's why the Queen Elizabeth's uncle, who was King of Germany, of England, I can't remember his name.
It's all fucking...
They kicked him off they kicked him off for marrying an American woman who'd been divorced.
Right. But she was German. Queen Victoria was.
But no. But he was a sympathetic Nazi sympathizer.
Oh.
And that's why then that's that correlation that connects them. That's a interesting, that's a very interesting tidbit.
Yeah. So, well, actually, I mean, she's got, but like her thinking was if I can keep British rule if I integrate into all of these royal families in these different countries and start a World War One. She's got all these grandkids, but at the start of World War One, those were her grandkids. King George, Kaiser Wilhelm, actually the King of Norway, which he wasn't a big deal, but
Tsar, that was big back then.
Tsar Nicholas in Russia, and then Greece, Sweden, and Romania.
That's a very interesting deal. Did not know that.
Yep.
And so, they all married within, because you had to marry royal family from somewhere else.
Right.
I'm watching a new series now, The Vikings. Never seen it before.
It's very gruesome. I've not watched all of it. There's a lot of episodes.
It is very gruesome.
I got a second. Did you know, since tonight is the draft, if you had to guess, what percentage of draft picks hit in the first round? Now, here's the criteria, and this was tweeted out by Adam Schefter. These numbers were calculated by their content producer, Paul Himbo. The criteria is percentage of first-round draft picks that hit or miss based upon whether or not that player signs a second contract with the team that drafted them.
Oh, it's simple.
What percentage of the first-round picks make it to a second contract with that team?
This is a simple question. It's not even a hard question.
Okay.
All you do is addition by subtraction.
Well,
you
add and think, subtract,
you don't think I know it, do you?
You saw it.
Center.
No. What? I'm sorry. What is the percentage total?
Center is like 91%.
You saw the same thing then.
Yeah, I did.
But total, what's the percentage?
What do you,
of all positions? How many?
Oh, probably 30 or 40%.
43%.
Yeah, that just. But I did see that also because it's kind of interesting. So if you're going to draft someone, you want to draft
a center
and offensive tackles.
Numbers are on the screen right now. If you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, center, fucking home run. But see, here's the numbers are kind of wonky because there's only been 12 of them picked in the last 20 years. So 11
in the first round.
In the first round, 11 of them hit. So you go down here to wide receiver, 77 of them hit or were picked, and only 21 of them made it to the second contract. So that kind of fudges the numbers just a little bit.
Now, I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But the Dallas Cowboys have used this formula because they don't ever draft a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
They've never, every one of them that they've gotten other since Troy Aikman have been bust.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Romo was a free agent and Dak was in the, fourth round or something.
Right.
But center, offensive tackle, guards is what the Cowboys have drafted in the first round. And they've all been pretty good. So that's pretty interesting. Quarterback's one that's funny. There's been 56 quarterback and only 46% of them have gotten a second contract with that team. But, you know, that's a really interesting deal. I'll get one more before we get off here. Now, how long have we been?
13 minutes.
Okay. Another one then. Of all positions or all drafts in the last 10 years, how many drafts have we had an edge player taken in the top 10?
I don't know.
Out of the 10 years, how many of them drafts do you think have at least had one edge player taken in the top 10?
Five.
Nine.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
The only year that they didn't have a top 10, actually it was a top 8 pick, was Michael Parsons.
Right.
The year he was drafted.
I saw that the draft of 2013 was the worst draft ever.
Is that when Jamarcus Russell?
No, it was like Blake Bortles. I'll pull it up.
Oh, that's the quarterback draft. Yes. Of all the quarterbacks, it's the worst quarterback draft ever.
In history, 2013.
Blake Bortles has been in the league 11 years.
Well, I don't think he's not in the league anymore, is he? What have I got going on there? Here. This will be
EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, and Mike Glennon were their quarterbacks. I didn't think Mike Glennon was that bad. I just think he was in a bad situation. He was another Ohio State quarterback.
Let's get to the... there we go. Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel, Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson.
Hold on. Eric Fisher was really good until he blew his knee out. Luke Jokel's been good.
Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson's been good.
Lane Johnson has really, really been
Ezekiel
good.
Ansa. Don't know about Mingo.
Jonathan Cooper played for a long time. Tavon Austin
had
a bust.
A long career.
He was a bust, though. D. Milner was okay. Chance Womack, DJ, God almighty, it's a long fucking way.
EJ Manuel.
Star Latula played for a pretty long time, I think.
Eric Reed was good, but that's later on.
Kenny Vaccaro was different.
I know it said Blake Bortles.
I think that's a quarterback draft of 2023 is what you're looking at.
I haven't seen Blake Bortles on here. Hold on, you're
going Xavier
though.
Rhodes is still good. DeAndre Hopkins is good.
Eddie Lacy.
Travis Frederick, what a player.
What a bust that was.
Yeah, that's crazy how that went to.
What the hell? That's not...
It's the quarterbacks deal that I saw. I saw that too. It was the top worst quarterback drafts of all time.
I saw that it was the just worst draft ever.
No, that was not a very good one, though.
When was Blake Bortles drafted? Blake Bortles.
You can just go to draft. I had to
draft. 20... It doesn't say.
14.
2014.
Yep.
So it would have been the 2013.
No, it would be the 2014 draft.
NFL 2014 draft. Maybe this was it. What are your early predictions for tonight's draft?
I was going to do a deal, and I dicked around too long. I was going to give a $1,000 gift certificate if anybody could pick the top 10 players taken.
This one seems legit. I mean, you got Jadeveon Clowney. He's been good.
It was quarterback drafts. Blake Bortles, and then go to the next quarterback down. I saw the same thing you did. We read the same shit, I think.
Johnny Manziel. Bust.
Yep. That was it.
Two. No, Teddy Bridgewater.
Decent at best. But, I mean, that was it. That was the three quarterbacks taken. I think that you're going to see someone's going to make a big, bold move. I hope my Redskins draft Jaden Daniels from the LSU. I hope that's who they second. I think Drake May is not going to be the next Josh Allen. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks go. I think just like every other quarterback draft, 75% of them aren't going to be worth a shit.
Well,
and
57%.
Caleb Williams. Well, no, there's a big difference between getting a second contract and being an actually good quarterback.
Oh.
I think the wide receivers are going to be the big steal of this draft. I think there's four or five of them that legitimately could be a Sunday superstar.
I heard something interesting. If the Giants, and we'll wrap up here because this did you know is dragging on. The Giants, if they draft quarterback Daniel Jones, will go to the Denver Broncos.
They just traded for Zach.
Come on, Jeff. Be real.
Neither one of them done shit.
Be real.
Daniel Jones did go to the playoffs and win a playoff
game. Would you
rather
have Daniel Jones or Zach Wilson?
When Daniel Jones is healthy and he can move, he's not bad. He really isn't. They hasn't had no talent in New York.
There you go.
I mean, do you think he's had any talent in New York to throw the ball to? Zero. They got the worst receiving core in football.
Kenny Galladay.
You can have it. The University of Texas last year had a better receiving core than the Giants have had the last 3 years.
That fucking Tony just sent me another picture.
Turkey's getting you. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Just go to Mallard Bay. I'm telling you right now, if you want a dove hunt, a duck hunt, a goose hunt, an elk hunt, fishing trip, whatever you want, you'd get a hold of our friends over at Mallard Bay. So mallardbay.com. Thank you. God bless you. Have a safe day and have a great weekend.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer.